Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And welcome to the Phil Hendry Show, our world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. We're also online at philhendryshow.com, and we're online with a video cast each and every night. We also have a daily podcast the next day, as well as our live video cast right now, our live broadcast right now. And we have a featured classic podcast every day from our archives. The Backstage Pass is the way to go. And, of course, to the gentleman that I was talking to this weekend over Twitter, because that's what we do on the weekends, don't we? We don't interact with our families and our friends anymore. We talk to strangers on Twitter. No, I'm just kidding. We don't really. Well, I mean, I don't.
Did you belch?
Yes, I did.
How come she can't?
Because I'm the host. When you people belch, you give me fair warning.
You see, that's just... it's not fair.
What, are you going to cry?
Well, I just don't think it's fair.
Well, what are you crying for?
I'm not crying so much as I'm outraged. I'm just shaking from the outrage.
Get out of here. You're shaking from the outrage of not being able to belch without...
Miss Elliot, it's hypocritical.
Oh, get out of here, hypocritical. I'll tell you again, and then I don't want to say it again. Nobody belches on the mic except for me. You understand?
That's unfair.
Oh, quit bawling. God, you guys are like kids. Like I just said something like, you know what, I'm going to watch my favorite TV show, even though I told you you could if you studied hard.
Well, it's not much different.
So belching on mic means that much to you?
If it is the difference, Phil, between belching on mic and ripping a hole in my esophagus, never mind, forget it.
Good God, what are you eating that would cause you to tear a hole in your esophagus if you hold a belch back?
Don't, you don't know, Mr. Henry. You see the mustard that they bought?
The what?
You see the mustard?
Did you see the hot mustard we bought?
No, I didn't see the hot mustard you bought.
But probably with the gas on that.
Well, then maybe you ought to back off on the kind of mustard you buy.
You laugh now, but I'll tell you if...
Yeah, if that stomach, that alien.
The thing in the alien, Phil.
The alien coming out of that guy's stomach, that was from gas? Or what are you trying to tell me?
No, but I'm saying, what if the day ever comes...
They make the mustard stronger.
You guys are high on something. I don't know what it is and what you're doing before you come on the air, but knock it off, okay? It's like you cats are... It's like you're breathing laughing gas or something.
It's just the hypocrisy. Never mind. I won't bring it up again. Thank you.
Yeah, but...
Bud, don't bring it up.
Thank you very much.
So you don't care?
No, I don't care. No, I don't. I don't care. Nope. Nope. Not me. Hi, everybody. I'm Phil Hendry. I don't care. No. I do apologize for belching. I didn't have that spicy hot mustard, whatever these guys are talking about. I did have some Gouldens, but that's no big thing.
Well, the Gouldens is...
That'll rip into you.
Gouldens? Gouldens is nothing.
Yeah, you don't think you're so big because you eat all the hot stuff.
Yeah, I do eat a lot of hot stuff because I was married to a woman that cooked that way. Every girlfriend I've ever had cooks with spices. I don't know what it is. Is there something significant about that? Every woman I've ever known, and they've all been great women. I've had my ups and downs, but the quality women in my life all cook with just pounds of cayenne pepper and every kind of hot... It's nuts, and it's never hot enough for them either. They always got to have it hotter.
Well, that could be your problem, you know, because while you say every woman you've ever known, you've had nothing but failure with women.
That's true, Mr. Henry. They cook with the hot stuff, causing a gas problem.
You guys are, like I said, you're weird. You're way, way out there. All right, let's get to the big news. The two big stories of this weekend, you know them as well as I do. There's no use in pussyfooting around. Reese Witherspoon and that guy on TV that said F and S and the G word and the F and everything. In South Carolina, some poor guy, his first time at bat, his first time on the air, I say poor guy, and somebody made the comment to me this weekend that I thought was very, very prescient. I thought it was, which I don't know what that word means, but I thought it was an extremely, I thought it was extremely perceptive. They said the following thing. They said, you know what, I wish we had more news anchors like that. I wish we had more unpolished and off-the-cuff and honest, stumbling kind of news anchors. And I realize that that probably doesn't sound right coming from a guy who's always championed professionalism, right? But here's where I believe that person may have the point. That guy didn't do it on purpose. He did it by mistake. It was an accident. He apologized. It was a terrible thing to say, and he evidenced a great deal of there's multi levels of ignorance there in terms of, well, what's the audience, you know, where am I? Why am I not speaking much more professionally? What caused me to get this angry that I spit this stuff out? Why am I this tense? There's a lot of things happening there. So I'm not necessarily saying, oh, well, that's forgivable. But I am saying anybody that does television news, particularly people that are doing live TV, really need to get, I think they need to loosen up. And they have to begin to talk more directly to the audience, and they have to allow for the odd mistake. I think if you look at the greatest news coverage, well, when we think of the greatest news anchor moment, what would you say it is?
What does that mean, the best news anchor moment?
Like the best news anchor moment.
Well, the best news anchor moment for me, in terms of honesty, was not really a news anchor moment. It's difficult to say this.
Well, did it involve a news anchor?
Yes, it did. But it involved, it was honest, it was real, it was compelling, but you never saw her.
Oh, you talk about when they had a camera in the colon.
Yes, I'm talking about Katie Couric's colon. That was compelling television, and I thought, and I give her credit for that. That was, we were looking at Katie's, I mean, we were up, and I would appreciate if no one starts to snicker, which is what he's doing right now.
Cut it out, bud. Are you telling me, I'm not, Margaret.
Phil, resist the temptation of getting up. You want a compelling moment, that's a compelling moment.
When that camera was going up Katie Couric's rear end, huh?
Boy, you really get your kicks. You need to get your kicks out of every single thing, don't you? The idea of something going...
No, I'm not trying to get my kicks, okay?
What was that?
I'm not trying to get my kicks. Bud?
I don't know.
Robert?
I don't know.
For me...
Jesus. Well, we don't even know what it is you're talking about.
For me, it was Walter Cronkite breaking down when he got the news that Kennedy was dead. Now, I don't even remember it because I was a little kid and, you know, I was just staring at a TV wondering what the hell I was looking at. But in later years, when I saw that moment, I thought that was just a real moment. That was just real. It wasn't. He wasn't a guy thinking, wow, other news anchors have cried on the air. And if I cry now, it could be my Emmy moment. He wasn't thinking that because there had been no other guys that cried on the air before him. There'd been no reason to cry on the air. Television had just come into its own in the early 50s. The World War II was over, so that event, you know. So it was simply, it was really Walter Cronkite genuinely crying because this man that he had met just months before, he'd given an interview to Cronkite, Kennedy had, and now he's crying, and now he's feeling pain, and he's also trying to hold it back. He's looking at the clock, he's looking at his watch, he's trying to be professional. To me, that was a great moment. And nowadays, we have people that are trying to calculate those moments. They're trying to, sorry, you know.
Well, who, for instance?
I don't know, man. It just seems to me like I always see people who, and I want to be very honest with you right now, you know, like, God bless him, Glenn Beck, my former colleague, great guy. He is. He's a very nice man. He's a father, he's a husband, and he's a nice guy. Glenn's a theatrical guy. And I never, you know, because I happen to know, you know, that Glenn, well, learned at my feet.
No, he didn't. Come in and see your show one time.
Yeah, I wouldn't be giving yourself that many culottes, Phil.
Culottes?
Yes, culottes, as in...
You mean kudo.
What?
Kudos.
What's a kudo? Oh.
Yeah, a culotte?
Take it easy, sport. Just don't be patting yourself on the back or scratching yourself up your you-know-what, because I don't think it's that big of a deal.
Point that I'm trying to make is that when Glenn this weekend said that he's giving the government until Monday to come clean about the Boston, otherwise he's going to spill what he knows, it turns out the cat that he was talking about, that Saudi, got nothing to do with the bombing. And the way he was talking... You know, it was like this real heartfelt, earnest thing. It was bullcrap. I mean, I didn't think he was feeling all that much emotion. That's what it is. It's all very calculated. It's like the reality show. Today, we can't even be real with how we feel. Today, even the reality show is scripted, or at least it's rehearsed. So when we get back to this guy from South Carolina, or what the hell was it?
Yeah, it's like it was.
Well, it was Dakota.
Yeah, it was North. It was North Carolina. Forget.
It was North Dakota.
Yes.
That's not in the South.
What's in the South?
North Carolina. All right, so we'll be back. His name is Clementine. And all right, so there was that story, and then there was Reese Witherspoon, as she gave a load of you know what to a Georgia State Patrol or a Georgia police officer, as her husband was being pulled from the car, forced to walk a straight line, grabbed by the back of the head, shoved into the trunk, and locked in there. And they said, "Y'all going downtown?" No, they didn't. We'll be right back. I'll tell you what happened. World famous Phil Hendry Show. I have experience with Georgia police. They're pretty good guys.
Truth. Also, is Secret our Service bitch. Down there. The Phil Hendry Show.
They are, guys, sort of. Atlanta PD is okay.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And we want to mention this particular hour we're dedicating as this segment of our show to Kristen Barris Bryant. And Kristen is one of our listeners. And she, Kristen suffered through the early stages and the surgery and recovery from breast cancer. And I talked to her this weekend on Facebook. And she's getting better, and we're happy to hear that, Kristen. And I posted this for her today. This is Tommy Seeback's version of Apache. And it may sound okay to you because you can't really see Tommy and his band, but imagine Howdy Doody with a mullet.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding.
What are you talking about, a mullet?
I said, imagine Howdy Doody with a mullet.
Well, I don't want to imagine. God in heaven.
Right. And so anyway, it's scary. And I posted that, and it's one of the worst things you've ever seen.
So why would you this poor woman has recovered from breast cancer.
She's a great lady, and I also talked to her mom. And I said to the folks on Facebook, as I do to my listeners tonight, if you get a chance to say hello to her, please do. She's just a nice woman, and we never do anything with this. I never say anything to my listeners, and I don't say anything to you guys when I hear from people who say, and I hear it all the time. You know, Phil, I listened to your show, or we went to the website and we listened to some of the archives, we listened to some of the bits, and it helped me through this, and it helped me through that, and I was depressed, and I thought I was going to blow my head off. And
are you kidding me, man?
No, I'm not kidding you. I'm not kidding you.
Well, you're exaggerating. I'm sure.
I'm not exaggerating, no. I've heard from people who say things to me like, the first time my wife laughed as she was coming out of her coma, which, by the way, Don and Mike put her in. I'm kidding. I'm just joking around, Don. You know I am. When she was coming out of her coma, and you were the first thing she laughed at was you, Phil, and it wasn't your radio show. It was a picture of you. Ha, 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 ha.
Oh, so that's what she was laughing at.
Yeah.
No, it was the show.
But you're joking.
Yes, I'm joking. What is it with everybody tonight? Anyway, so here was a lady who had I talked to her this weekend, and she and by the way, Kristen, I know someone. I'm very grateful to have met and made the acquaintance of and know someone who had breast cancer, had a double mastectomy, and had reconstructive surgery. And it was great, and they did a great job, and she is, this woman is today fully recovered and very, very happy. So that's something you can opt for if you want. They've got phenomenal reconstructive of surgeons, reconstructive plastic surgeons who do that kind of work. Then there was, I don't want to get a hold into a breast cancer thing here, but I mean, you know, like I said to, I've said this before, if there's a woman in your life that you love or you care about, I don't care if she's a daughter or a wife or, you know, it's something you probably ought to get a little bit educated on. There's a lot of women who, if they have it in their, well, I don't want to get into it, but I mean, the fact is a lot of women, if they have it in their family, they just go ahead and they opt to have a mastectomy.
Well, a double mastectomy, because you don't want to come down with the cancer. If you can, now there's no, if you come down with it,
You don't come down with cancer.
If you get it, I mean, yes, you can have the reconstructive. I wouldn't have the tattoo.
Well, the one that I saw was there was a lady had a double mastectomy and she had a tattoo. You know, that's, you know, valid. That's cool. Whatever you do, you know, remember that there are options, and some of them are options that if you want to regain your form, you want to regain your figure to some degree, that can be done by way of reconstructive surgery.
Just belched again.
If I belch, I will make note of it. You don't have to, bud.
Yeah, what are you doing, man? You keeping track?
No, what are you, writing a book?
No, you're writing a book, man.
Hold on, bud. So that's the cool thing about that. And anyway, Kristen, we're gonna dedicate a portion of the show every night to you until you're real, you know, till you're healed.
And you're not getting paid for this, and there's no commercial endorsement. There's just
no nothing. It's just something I want to do. Is that okay with you?
Don't get defensive, Phil. You know, I would like to know a little bit more about this. You're not sucking up to the audience. You're not doing anything. Would you turn that down, bud?
Look at this guy. Looks like a
howdy doody with a mullet. All right.
Would you turn that down, please? What is that?
That's him thinking that that's how Indians talk.
What are you talking about?
That's what he thinks an Indian sounds like.
Who?
This guy, Tommy Seebeck.
What do you mean that's what he thinks?
The guy comes from Denmark. I think that's what Danish people think Indians sound like.
Well, he looks like an ass.
Yes, he does. All right, get out of here with that. It sucks. All right, world famous Phil Hendry show. So that's story number one, which was what did I say? Well, it had something to do with something. Anyway, story number two. Oh yeah, we're just talking about the lady with breast cancer. That's not story number one. Is Reese Witherspoon and her husband? They were pulled over by Georgia police officers. I believe it was Saturday night, something. Oh, Friday night, and she was arrested along with her husband. Her husband is an agent, a Hollywood, agent, works for Creative Artists Agency, CAA. His name is Jim Toth. They were in Atlanta, and he was pulled over because they thought that the car was driving around, couldn't stay in its lane, I think is what the police officer wrote out in his report. And so they brought him out of the car, and they questioned him. And Reese Witherspoon, his wife, is in the passenger seat, and she's yakking and saying, "What are you doing?" and this and that and this and that. And the cop says to her, "Sit your butt back in there." And then he places her husband under arrest, and that's when she gets out of the car and says, "I'm an American citizen, standing on American ground," is the way she put it. They were both hammered, you know. And so he told her, "If you keep on interfering with me, I'm going to place you under arrest for, you know, interfering with a police officer or whatever the hell the charge is." And she wouldn't do that. And I'm always fascinated by people that ignore cops, you know.
Well, why is that?
Because you're not going to get anything out of it. You're going to get arrested, you know.
But you're making a point, Phil. See, I don't understand you. A lot of people don't understand you. What do? You just bend over for cops?
Yeah, what are you doing, bending over?
What do you mean bending over? Because I get a ticket? If I don't sign the ticket, I'm going to go to jail.
Well, but don't you fight it?
If I fight it, I'll fight it in court. What do you mean, right there where the cop's giving me the ticket?
If I'm being treated unjustly, I've got to say something.
Oh, please. What the hell do you think? If the cop was really being out of line, okay? If I thought the cop was being out of line, there ain't nothing I can do about that either. If he's beating hell out of me just because he's a criminal, then that's what's going to happen to me. And I'm going to have to fight that fight someplace else because I ain't going to win, man. You are not going to win. You get your ass kicked by a cop. He may be good, bad, or indifferent. You're going to wind up going into jail or going into a hospital ward someplace. You're going to come out. You're still going to feel, you know, like you want to do something about it. But the time you get out of jail and get away from the cop is the time to do it. Not while you're standing there at the side of a highway fighting your so-called good fight. People crack me up. I'm telling you.
What are you saying, man? I shouldn't say nothing?
First of all, 99% of the things that people are complaining about that happen to them when it comes to cops, they're creating in their own minds because they've got a problem with cops. because they've never been able to get along with them, because they're just the kind of people who want to do what they want to do, and cops shouldn't stand in their way. So you got to figure out, number one, whether you're in the right or not. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
We'll be in the right when we come back.
That's right. I mean, that's wrong. No, that's right.
Phil Hendry. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right. Getting back here to the Reese Witherspoon. By the way, congratulations to Manchester United for winning the Barclays Premier League, the English Premier League, which is the major league of soccer in Great Britain. Manchester United is a badass team because they won that thing by I don't know how many points, like 15, 16, 17 points. And in English soccer, they play it just straight ahead, man. No fuss, no muss. They don't have any of this playoffs. It's 20 teams, and the first team, and the team that finishes first wins the championship.
Well, that's no fun.
Yeah, do I want to have a playoff?
Why do they need a playoff? The team finished first. They win, you know.
Yeah, but you all give a chance.
They had a chance.
So that's how you'd like to see it done in America?
If it was up to me, yeah, it would be. If it was up to me, we'd cut the playoffs way off. Way back, man.
Man, you must not like money, man. That's the only way they're going to make money.
Let me explain something to you, because maybe you guys don't know this. I said it the other time when we were talking about this. The most valuable sports franchise on Earth, on the planet Earth, that we live on now. Someday we may travel beyond this planet.
You're saying Earth as we know it?
Yes, Earth as we know it.
In a present time, with the present tectonic plates and everything.
Yeah, with the pleasant... Get out of here with the tectonic plates.
Not pleasant, present.
Yes. Right now, okay, the number one most valuable sports franchise in the world is Manchester United. It's worth $4.5 billion. Are you ready for that? $4.5 billion. That beats the crap right out of the Yankees. Forget it. The Yankees are not even worth... The Yankees aren't worth half... Well, yeah, the Yankees are worth a little more than half that. New York Yankees, a little more. That's it. That's the most valuable franchise, so you're telling me they don't care about money over there? Those cats know how to make money over there with sports like we never even figured out yet. We got playoffs, we got semifinal, quadruple final, quadriplegic finals.
The quadriplegic final.
Shut up, man.
Get out of here, bud.
That's the final they're going to have with a guy that can't walk.
That's very funny, bud.
Yeah, that's not really funny, man. They got it all, you know. We have everything, and if, you know, the hockey and basketball and baseball, and we can't get enough teams into the playoffs till, frankly, it doesn't mean anything half the time. But over there, they got 20 teams in their top league. 20. They play 38 games. That's two games against each team in the league. So if there's 20 teams, you're playing 19 other teams twice. What's that come to, bud?
Okay, two.
Yeah, I know how to do it.
What?
Yeah, it's 2 times 20.
No, you jackass.
Hold on. Okay, Margaret, what is it?
How many teams are you... You said there's 20 teams in the league.
Yeah, there's 20 teams in the league.
He's right, 40.
No, wrong.
Yeah, there is.
No! If there's 20 teams in the league, you're one of the teams, right?
I'm one of the teams? What are you talking about?
Just take it from me, okay? It's 19 games that you... It's 19 teams.
Yeah, see, I said right now, you said it's 19 games.
There's 19 other teams.
Oh, you don't count yourself.
No, I don't think you would. You don't play yourself twice.
Phil, don't be so sarcastic. It's really not very attractive.
Oh, well, I'm so brokenhearted.
You see, I think a lot of women will probably tell you that now that you're out on the market, as it were.
No, I am not. What are you talking about?
Well, I've seen some of the posts. You've been, oh, love, exciting and new. Love gets a hold of you. The love boat. Soon Phil will be booking a first-class cabin.
Thank you. In any event, there's 19 teams besides your own team. 2 times 19 is 38. That's 38 games in the league. 38 games over, like, once a week. So it's about a 38-week season. So it's a long season. It's a long season. It stretches from August to May. And they're not only playing those games, they're also playing games in the Champions League. All kinds of stuff going on. So it's amazing. I think it's fun. It's fun to follow. I like it. And just to go to the point of, you know, well, is that it? That's the end of it? Yes, that's it. They've won the Championship of English Football, the Manchester United. There's also the FA Cup. The FA Cup is like the U.S. Open. Any team can play. I think not any team, but the top, I don't know, 90 teams or something in English competition. So you have this Premier League is 20. Well, you've got all these other divisions.
Yeah, that's the whole thing that's kind of stupid about it. Got a team that's in a village.
Are you telling me the village team can make it all the way to the big game?
Yes, a village team, because in England, soccer's soccer. And so they take the first, I don't know what the hell, they take the first 9 divisions that they have, going all the way down to some little village team.
You talk about a village team, man. You're going to get a guy, a village smithy or something? Not a smithy.
Bet they could have it.
The what?
They're going to have a team. In other words, if they have a village smithy...
The village smithy. You mean they're going to have the guy that works in the blacksmith shop?
Well, that's what you're talking about. That's ridiculous. You're not going to have a team full of smithies and stagecoach.
Well, in English football, that's what they do. They have a team full of smithies and barkeeps and guys that drive stagecoaches against some cat that's making £3 million a year.
Which, how much is that?
Like $2?
No, it ain't $2. Are you crazy? Pound's worth more than a dollar. In any event, that's what it is. And they go for the FA Cup. All right, so that's one. There's the Premier League. That's another one. Then they have the Champions League, which is all of Europe. I think it's very exciting. So the whole point that I was trying to make is congratulations to Manchester United. On to the next topic. Thank you very much. God.
Well, you brought it up, Phil.
Yeah, I'm talking about Billy Smithy.
I wasn't talking about it. You guys are talking about the village soccer team. Although they have village, technically you're right, they could have a village soccer team. I don't know, man. I don't know how it works. All right, now Reese Witherspoon, as I was saying, was arrested along with her husband on Friday night by Georgia police when she got out of the car and said, my name is Reese Witherspoon, and you're not. And the cop said, ha, 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 get a load of the lisp on that broad. And she went, you'll see what you're dealing with. And the next thing you know, the cop slaps the cuffs on her and says, listen, sister, I got all I can handle with this juice hound here. Is that your husband? Yes, it is, she said. And he said, all right, I'm sticking you in the back of this radio car here. I'm taking him so he can throw up in this ditch, and then I'm putting him in the back seat with you. Then we're going on down to that substation down there. Do you have any objections? And she said, yes, sir. So the point is she was being a drunk.
Well, that was it. And then she apologized, I think, later on.
Yes, she did apologize later on, and Doug Danger is going to join us, by the way. We'll get a little bit more on this, but she did apologize. As a matter of fact, she has canceled her, I guess she canceled Jimmy Fallon and a few other appearances on some talk shows because it was just not going to be, I don't blame her. It was just not going to be anything she's going to want to talk about, you know. Doug Danger with us from the Orange County Courier. Doug, how are you doing?
Well, I'm doing all right, and you're right. Reese Witherspoon has canceled appearances on a Jimmy Fallon show. She was set to make an appearance on a Late Night with Jimmy Fallon and Good Morning America. And according to the Washington Post, she has canceled both events. Now, the news source that I have reports that the star of the forthcoming movie, Mud, that's the name of the new movie she's got coming out called Mud, she planned to promote the new movie on Monday on a taping at GMA, Good Morning America, that would have aired on Wednesday. And the Late Night appearance was scheduled for tomorrow. But she failed to appear at the Mud press junket on Monday. And as you know, on Friday, she was arrested along with her husband, Jim Toff. Jim Toff, as you said, Phil, is an agent. He works for CAA. I don't know if he represents her or not.
That would make sense, though, wouldn't it?
Not necessarily. It might be a conflict of interest. She might have met him at the agency. She might have been handled by CAA, and they met, and they had cocktails, and one thing led to another. And they wound up being intimate and involved that way and probably said to her at that time, well, now there's no way I can represent you because it would be seen as a conflict of interest. And whether it was at her house or his house, he's got to get out of there, get down a fire escape or somehow go out the front door while the sun's not out and get to his car, dive in, stay low, And
where are you saying all this?
What are you talking about, Doug?
What am I talking? I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, all right? You understand that?
Yeah. What are you talking about? He's got to get into the car.
I'm telling you that this guy does not want to be perceived as someone who's sniffing around. You know, we used to have a saying. I grew up in the South, Phil. We had a saying. You got your nose in the hen house. Pretty soon, you're going to have your nose in the kitchen. And what that means is, if you're sniffing around, you know, if you're sniffing around the barnyard, won't be long before you're sniffing around a supermarket. You got your nose in the barn, you got your nose in the barn door. You understand what I'm saying?
So, no, I don't understand what you're saying. I think what you're saying...
Well, if you don't understand what I'm saying, don't say I don't understand what you're saying, then say I think what you're saying.
Can I say something?
God, what happened to you?
Yeah, what was that, Margaret?
What?
Well, you went, butcher, like that.
I'm trying to get a word in edgewise. I understand what you mean by conflict of interest. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm talking about. If Jim Toth, you know, met Reese Witherspoon over cocktails one night at a restaurant, one thing leads to another, and they are at her home or his home, and it's loud, maybe louder than it's ever been, and a neighbor gets wind of that, or someone delivering an early morning paper, or a milkman. And let me tell you something. I've known more than one gossip writer in this town. Not gossip, but they used to call it gossip. I've known more than one entertainment writer in this town. You interview a milkman. Milkman knows everything because he's coming up the back door with those bottles. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. And I find out that a milkman hears more things coming to the back door. So what I'm saying is this. If Toth takes her home and he gets a regular milk delivery at 5 o'clock or yogurt or whatever he has delivered there,
well, I can tell you that as a mother, it's important to have fresh milk. But if he's a single man, and he's having regular milk deliveries...
Yeah, that's pretty weird.
Why is that weird?
Yeah, why is that weird?
Well, it's just, that doesn't make no sense, that's all.
Yeah, see, that's suspicious.
All right, if his single man is having regular milk deliveries, what does that mean?
Well, are you saying gay?
I'm saying it could be, yeah.
Yeah, it could be.
Why does that mean gay?
Because of health. Because he's obviously interested in his health. And in Hollywood, that only means one thing, gay. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist doing a report 2 years ago on Billy Bremen, and you probably don't remember him. He was a coming star in television. He was straight. He drank milk. But as it turns out, he was covering for a gay friend of his that had committed a homicide. I don't know.
What does that mean? Everything you just said doesn't mean anything.
I'm saying that one of his friends was gay and killed somebody, and he wanted people to think it was him, so he started having milk delivered to the house. God, man.
You know something, Doug? I don't know what you're talking about half the time.
Well, there's a newsflash. Why do you keep having me on the show?
Because you're the guy that tells me you got all this information. What do you mean the guy started having milk regularly delivered to his house so the cops would think he was gay and it would take the heat off of his friend? And look at this. Now I have to break. Finish your report.
What? Never mind.
God, I can't stand that guy.
Phil, you are the one that caused that.
Yeah, you didn't let him say what he got to say.
Oh, come on. The guy's getting off point. I had a friend, Billy Blevin. He was gay. No, he was straight. And he had a milk delivery. And what's that got to do with Reese Witherspoon and this guy, Toth? We'll be right back with our next big story. The guy that cussed up a storm on the set and got fired in South Dakota or North Dakota or South something. Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
The Phil Hendry Show. Look, guys, listen to me on the set of a South Carolina team. I'm from South Carolina, and I'm gay.
Well, I was hoping we could cue up some audio on this next story. This is the A.J. Clement story, but I haven't been able to find one that is unedited. And it sounds like it was off air. A.J. Clement was and I say was, very specifically because he was. I guess he got fired today. That's the word that I'm hearing. A.J. Clement on Sunday debuted as the new weekend sports anchor for NBC affiliate KFYR in Bismarck, North Dakota. Less than 24 hours later, he's looking for work again, having been fired by the station for opening his first ever broadcast with profanity. Clement's co-anchor, Van Tu, was introducing her colleague at the start of the Sunday Evening Report when he let slip a couple of curse words. In video of the incident, which went viral afterward and got Keep AJ trending on Twitter, he appears unaware that he's on camera at the time. And that's what it looks like, folks, because for those of you watching Phil TV, you can see there's the station slide, North Dakota News. So that's the slide that they had up. And it was still up when someone had the mic on. Now, keep in mind that the news anchor doesn't control his microphone. The anchor controls only what he says, and that's, you know, true. And a live mic is always possible. And if you've got somebody in the control room that is anticipating, okay, we're going on the air, go ahead and boop, pot up everybody's mic or go live, make all the mics hot, then they're hot. So it's something you got to keep in mind, you know, is the mic on? I remember a really good friend of mine, Carell, who I'm having lunch with this weekend.
Well, name dropping.
What? He's not name dropping. Are you having brunch with him?
Yeah.
And I'm not invited. Why?
Because I'm having brunch with him. What do I got to invite you to all of this stuff, Margaret? Why don't you call him up?
Because you said you'd... Never mind.
You're having brunch with Carell?
What's the big deal? Yes, I am. So I'm having brunch with Carell. I'll ask him all about it, okay? Now, I didn't approve of him taking all that heat. Because Carell, the mic was open in his studio as he was saying some choice things, which anchors, which talk show hosts are going to do when they're in a commercial break. The mic was open, and that wasn't his fault. The mic should have been off. The engineer who was running his show at the time should have closed the mic, and he didn't. That's happened to me a few times. When you're doing a talk show, and you close your mic in the studio, it doesn't necessarily mean that your mic is dead. And you're talking with your colleagues, you're talking to yourself, you're talking to whoever, and a lot of times you're going to say all kinds of stuff. It's part of the process of doing a radio show. You may let out with an expletive. That's how, you know, the ball game is played for as long as I've been around in this business, and I've seen the best that you could possibly imagine, and they all use profanity when the mic is closed. I've seen all of the greats, and they use four-letter words, MFF. You would be shocked. Your favorite people, believe me. All the biggies and all the ones that you think are just so wonderful, all of them with the MF and the F and the S and the, you know, FU and everything, okay? So that's where it's at. And it's up to an engineer who's in control ultimately of that audio to make sure those mics are off. So in his case, in Carell's case, he got screwed by some jackass that was asleep at the wheel. Now in this guy's case, they're about ready to go to the air. He knows it. Because they're getting a countdown on the set, and they're probably down to one, and boom. And what is this guy saying as the mic goes live? He's saying effing S. So, to pick up the story...
Why don't you... You can't play it.
I can't play it because the tape that I have is not beeped. Clements co-anchor Van Tu was introducing her colleague at the start of the Sunday Evening Report when he let slip a couple of curse words in the video, which went viral afterward and got Keep AJ trending on Twitter. He appears unaware that he's on camera at the time. The station later posted an apology online, and Van Tu expressed regrets during the 10 p.m. broadcast, but the damage to Clement's career had already been done. That couldn't have gone any worse, he tweeted after the gaffe. Tough day. Thanks for the support. We all make mistakes. I'm truly sorry for mine. I'll try my hardest to come back better and learn from this. He will. He's been fired from KFYR, but I bet you money this kid gets another chance. I mean, of all the people on the air in America today, there's one guy who is the least likely of all to use any profanity, any obscenity, you name it, and that's AJ Clement. You better believe it. According to CBS News, the station said on Sunday night that Clement had been suspended. On Monday morning, the rookie anchor posted some bad news. Unfortunately, KFYR TV's decided to let me go. Thank you to them and everyone in North Dakota for the opportunity and everyone for the support. A few minutes later, he added, rookie mistake, I'm a free agent. Can't help but laugh at myself and stay positive. Wish I didn't trip over my freaking shoes out of the gate. There's a guy with a good attitude. I don't know, you know.
Well, didn't you say that you froze up the first time the microphone was open?
Yes, that happened to me. And maybe that would have been better if it happened to him. But I did. The first time, my very first day on the air, when the mic went open, I froze. And another time, I just froze.
What'd you do?
I just punched a commercial. I didn't know what to say. I was like, and I punched the commercial. Another time, my job was to call a contest winner and get the contest winner's reaction and tape it. So the only time that you could do this was during a record. So what you do a lot of times, this happened, you know, all the time back in the day when I was, you know, spinning records. You put a record on and you call up the contest winner, Mr. Joe Blow in, you know, Happydale.
Where's that?
I'm making it up, okay?
Happydale doesn't exist.
So I would call up Joe Blow in Happydale, which doesn't exist, and I would say to him, "Hi, Mr. You know, Blow, it's Phil Hendry, and I'm with WX, you know, something station. And don't ask me where that is, bud, because it's fake."
I know, that's fake.
Good, great. And I'd say, "Sir, you won, and I swear to God," well, wait till you hear this story. I'm going to tell you this story out of the top of the hour news. You're not going to believe what the guy won, and you're not going to believe what his reaction was. What he won was amazing. What his reaction was even more amazing. And we'll get to that and other news here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're talking about A.J. Clement and the MF and all that, Reese Witherspoon, a bunch of other stuff. Coming up, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.